All right, ready to dive in. Today we're exploring the world of the Wongawilli artisans.
Ah, this should be fun.
Yeah, they're a group of food artisans really passionate carrying on these traditions, but, and here's the twist, they're not afraid to get a little modern with it.
A little modern, huh? Interesting.
Right. We've got YouTube videos, website snippets, all sorts of stuff to give us a peek behind the scenes of their operation. What's your first take on this group?
Well, what immediately grabs me is that blend of old and new. It's like culinary time travel, but they're still writing the story, you know?
I like that. A culinary time capsule, but it's still being written.
And the video format, it's so raw, so real. It gives us this amazing view you wouldn't get otherwise.
Totally agree. It's like having an all-access pass to their world.
Right.
So, who are these Wongawilli artisans? Give us the rundown.
So they're second-generation immigrants,
Yeah.
super dedicated to these traditional food-making methods, but with their own twist. They're all about charcuterie, specifically salamis and chorizos.
Oh, charcuterie, cured meats, right?
You got it. They've been known to make kapa too. But what's really cool is they don't just stick to the same old recipe year after year. It seems like the specific types of salami, chorizo, kapa they're making, it changes, you know?
So they're honoring the old ways, but not afraid to experiment a bit.
Exactly. And that's what I find fascinating. How do they balance that? Honoring the tradition, but bringing in these new tools, these new techniques.
A little bit of a paradox, right?
Right.
Tradition meets innovation, and it all comes together in delicious cured meats. What about the videos themselves? What's the vibe? What are we seeing?
Raw and unfiltered. Imagine you're a fly on the wall in their workshop. It's casual, humorous, and you can just feel that camaraderie between them.
I love that. It's not just about the food, it's about the people.
Absolutely. Lots of joke around, teasing each other about who's faster, whose sausages are bigger. It's fun, you know? They're clearly having a good time.
That energy is contagious. So let's talk shop, shall we? What can we glean from these videos about their ingredients and their process?
They're all about quality. They use locally sourced pork, focusing on cuts like the shoulder and the leg.
Okay, good stuff going in. What else?
Natural casings, and they meticulously clean and turn them inside out. There's this whole technique they use with warm water and gravity. It's more intricate than you'd think.
Wait, turning intestines inside out, that's something else.
It really highlights their attention to detail. Every step matters to them.
All right, so they've got the meat, the casings. What about the flavor? How do they make it so good?
The secrets in the spice blend. Kosher salt, black pepper, paprika, garlic, fennel seeds, chili peppers, even oregano. And then there's this mysterious ingredient they call cure.
Cure. Sounds intriguing. What is that? Some kind of secret family recipe?
Well, cure is a big part of traditional charcuterie. It's what helps preserve the meat. Usually involves nitrates, salts, that kind of thing. It's essential, you know, prevents spoilage.
Makes sense. So it's this blend of time-tested techniques and their own special touch.
Sure.
Love it. Now tell me about the people. Who are some of the characters we meet in these videos?
We've got Danny Castellan. He's the one filming our eyes and ears, so to speak, asking questions, providing commentary. And then there's Lori. He's the kapa master, as he calls himself. At one point, he even gives his kapa a massage, claims it helps the
A
flavor.
kapa massage, you say? Okay, Lori sounds like a character.
Oh, he is, but he clearly knows his stuff. Then you've got Thomas, the salami expert, always meticulous with his measurements and mixing.
Precision is key.
You can say that again. And we can't forget Henry, the quality control guy, making sure each salami is up to their high standards. You also get glimpses of Tony and Fritz, the butchers who provide the pork. It's a real team effort.
A whole team dedicated to the craft. I love it. And you can really see the sense of community, the tradition running through everything they do.
Absolutely. It's not just about the food, it's about family, friends coming together, sharing stories. The videos often show them working side by side.
Like they're preserving a way of life, a connection to something bigger than themselves.
Exactly. And they do it all with a sense of humor. Remember when they're talking about event bookings while they're stuffing sausages? So casual. Like it's no big deal. I love that.
Right. Like, oh yeah, another event book. Just another day at the office. It's fantastic. Okay, we've gotten a great overview of the Wongawilli artisans. Their process, their personalities, that dedication to tradition, it's inspiring.
It really
But
is.
there's so much more to explore.
Definitely. Lots to unpack.
In the next part, let's dig deeper into these characters, their roles, and the specifics of what makes their creations so unique.
I'm ready when you are. Back for more Wongawilli Artisans goodness. We've covered a lot, but there's always more to uncover, right?
Absolutely. And I think it's time we get into some of the tougher stuff. Like, what are the challenges these guys face? They're doing things the old way, by hand, with such care. But they're in a world that's all about speed, efficiency, mass production. How do they navigate that?
You've hit on something really interesting. You know, there's this tension between tradition and, well, the demands of the modern world, the temptation to scale up, reach more people. It's there for any business.
Totally. Grow, expand, that's what we're always told to do.
Right. But with the Wongawili artisans, they're all about staying true to their craft, even if it means keeping things small.
So they're making a choice, a deliberate choice to prioritize quality over quantity. But that can't be easy, right? How do they make it work in today's market?
Well, think about their sourcing. They only use specific cuts of pork, and they insist on it being local.
Mm.
That's got to limit their options, right?
Makes sense. Fewer suppliers, maybe higher costs, all to stay true to their vision. And then there's the curing process. It takes weeks, months even. We live in a world of instant gratification, so that's got to be tough.
You're right. It's a slow process. But they're embracing that. They're not rushing it. They understand that some things, the best things, take time.
It's almost countercultural, isn't it? They're slowing down when everyone else is speeding up.
Absolutely. And it's resonating with people. They're tapping into a desire for authenticity, for something real, something made with care.
And it makes you wonder, how do they compete? I mean, you go to any grocery store and there's rows and rows of mass-produced salami. It's cheaper. It's convenient. So how do the Wongawili artisans hold their own?
Well, I think they're tapping into something bigger. There's a shift happening. More and more people are looking for quality, for things that are made with integrity. They're willing to pay more for it.
Like a rejection of the bland, the mass-produced, the, I don't know, soulless.
Yeah. And the Wongawili artisans, they're offering an alternative, something real, something with heart. And those videos, they play a huge part in that. You see the process, the care. It builds trust, I think.
Transparency. You see the hands, the faces, the passion behind it all. You don't get that from a plastic-wrapped salami at the supermarket. But I want to shift gears for a moment. These guys are second-generation immigrants, right? They're carrying a heritage, a tradition. What can you tell us about that? What are they preserving, and how does food connect to their cultural identity?
We don't have all the details, but you can piece some things together.
Yeah.
Charcuterie, especially salami and chorizo, they're rooted in specific parts of Europe. Italy, Spain, even Eastern Europe.
So they're bridging continents, generations through food.
Exactly. Food is so powerful that way. It connects us to our past, our family, our roots. It's how we carry traditions forward.
And for immigrant communities, that connection must be even stronger. Holding on to something familiar in a new place.
Absolutely. Food becomes a way to share your culture, to build bridges.
Okay, so we've got this group passionate about food, carrying traditions, and they're in this place called Wongawili. Is there any significance to that location? Is it known for its food scene?
That's a good question. The sources don't really delve into that. But the name Wongawili, it's right there in the name. They're clearly rooted in that community. Their craft probably plays a big part in the local culture. Maybe Wongawili has a long history with artisanal food, or maybe these guys are the ones bringing that to the forefront.
It's interesting to think how a place shapes our food traditions, isn't it? It's all connected. What about their community involvement? They seem pretty laid back about those event bookings, but it implies they're actively involved in their community. Do they do anything to promote food education or cultural exchange?
There's not much detail about specific events or initiatives, unfortunately, but you're right. They mention event bookings so casually, and they use local ingredients. It definitely points to strong community ties. Maybe they're at the farmers markets, food festivals. Who knows? Maybe they even hold workshops, sharing their skills, teaching people how to make salami.
Now, that's something I'd love to see. Learning from the masters, surrounded by the smells of spices. Good company. It would be an experience.
Absolutely. And that's what's so appealing about their story. It's about more than just food. It's about connecting with where it comes from, understanding the process, the craftsmanship.
It's about slowing down, appreciating the simple things. Like a good meal made with care. But before we wrap up this part, there's something that's really struck me. It's the storytelling aspect of their videos. It's not just about showing how they make salami. It's about sharing their passion, their story.
You're so right. It's that human element that makes them so engaging, you know? They're inviting us into their world, their humor, their struggles. It's all there.
It's like we're right there with them, chopping, stuffing, laughing along. It's real. It's genuine.
And it's a reminder that food, it's more than just fuel. It's a story. It's a connection. It's a celebration.
And the Wongawili artisans, they're telling that story beautifully, blending tradition, innovation, and just pure love for what they do. It's inspiring. and I have a feeling their story's just getting started.
I think you're right. There's much more to come from them. But for now, let's take a little break, let all this soak in.
Sounds good to me. When we come back, we'll wrap things up, talk about what we've learned from the Wangwili artisans and what it all means in the grand scheme of things. Welcome back. We're wrapping up our deep dive into the Wangwili artisans. It's been quite a journey. But now I'm thinking bigger picture. What can we learn from these guys? What does their story tell us about, well, about us, about the world we live in?
It's amazing, isn't it? Their resilience. I mean, they're holding on to tradition in a world that's all about, you know, faster, cheaper. And they're not just getting by, they're thriving. It shows you there's a real hunger for that authenticity, that quality.
They're swimming against the current and they're winning. So what is it about their approach that's resonating so strongly with people?
I think it taps into a deep need. People want connection, real connection, to their food, to the people who make it, to something beyond the, you know, the constant rush of modern life. And the Wangwili artisans, they offer that.
It's like they're saying, hey, slow down, savor this. And people are listening.
Exactly. They're proving that there's another way, a better way. It's not just about making salami. It's about slowing down, appreciating the process, the craft.
It's a recipe for a more mindful life, mm-hmm. a more meaningful life, and tastier, too. But it goes beyond the food itself, right? Those videos they make, it's like a form of activism almost.
You're right. It's about sharing their values, their passion, and it's contagious. You watch them, you get swept up in it.
You want to join them, you know? Roll up your sleeves, get your hands dirty, make something real.
And that's the beauty of it, isn't it? Those lessons apply to everything, not just food.
Absolutely. Slow down, savor the moment, connect with the things that matter. Hmm. The Wangwili artisans, they're showing us how it's done.
And reminding us that the best things in life, they're worth the wait.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, that wraps up our deep dive into the world of the Wangwili artisans. It's been a real pleasure exploring their story. They've given us a lot to think about.
They have, and hopefully they've inspired a few people to seek out the artisans in their own communities, those folks who are keeping traditions alive.
Absolutely. So next time you're at the store, maybe skip that mass-produced salami and see if you can find something made with a little more love, a little more heart. You might be surprised what you discover.
And remember, folks, always tie that second one before you start the next salami.
Words to live by. Until next time, happy eating.